Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. It is the second and final hour of the show. It is a Tuesday, and every Tuesday we do this thing called Tech and Innovations Tuesday. It is our little contribution as a show in trying to keep up with the trends on what's happening out there in terms of the tech world. I do know that it can be a very intimidating world because there's quite a lot of things that are happening there. There's quite a lot of trends that are taking place. Things are changing at a very fast pace. And so we try and get, of course, experts in this field to help us understand that. And today is no different. We're talking about the surface web versus deep web versus dark web. If that sounds a little bit Chinese and Mandarin, don't worry, you're not alone. I'm there as well. I also don't know what that is, right? But our guest is here to join us and help us understand that. But I'd like to hear from you, +27734703520. That is +27734703520. Now, these are three terms, that is the surface web, deep web, or dark web, are often a source of confusion, especially in connection with cybercrime and where that comes from. Now, if you think that search engines like Google know about everything on the internet, well, I'm here to tell you that you'd certainly be wrong. Some stats from worldwidewebsize.com show at the start of November 2017, search engines have indexed at around 4.5 billion pages, which is a lot, but you'd be surprised to know that in reality, it's only 1% of the whole web. Now, of course, that gives a good context to then think about surface web, deep web, and dark web. Joining us this evening, it is Ronald Nyamukua, who's going to be helping us understand this a little bit better. Good evening, Ronald.
Good evening, Jepelo. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. Yourself?
I'm good. Feeling refreshed and rejuvenated. Just arrived back from camp meeting. So, okay.
That's cool. That's cool. I thought you were going to say you went on some vacation or something, but I think this one deserves much better than vacations, eh? That's so cool.
It's camp meeting.
That's very, very cool. How's the weather that side?
It's sunny. It's warm during the days and gets a little nippy in the evening. But today it's quite warm. It's still very warm.
Okay, so you had good camp meeting then. I mean, I'm sure during the day it was a pleasure to be at the camp meeting.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Lovely weather.
Fantastic. Once again, thank you, sir, for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. Hey, Muna, surface web, deep web, dark web, anything that has a dark in it is almost seen as a bad, it has bad connotations, right? You know, we really don't want anything that has to do with them. But we're talking about these things. What are they and what do they mean? Maybe if we start with some basic definitions, when we're talking about the dark web, surface web, and deep web, what are we talking about?
Okay, so I'll try start with in their order.
Yeah.
I'll start with surface web,
okay.
Right? Which could be also termed the visible web. This is
the visible
what we
web.
See every day. Yeah, that's the portion of the internet that is accessible to everyone using your standard browser,
okay.
Your Chrome, Firefox, your Safari, and this part of the web that it's indexed by search engines like your Google.
Yeah,
right.
So yeah,
Bing, Yahoo. What that means is just you can find these websites through your search engines.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And you've got your usual stuff, your www.facebook, your news portal, social media, the usual stuff.
The usual stuff, yeah.
And then when you talk of the dark web, right? So the dark web becomes a small part of what we call the deep web. All right. Yeah. So imagine an image of an iceberg, right? And then the ocean, and then under the ocean. So on top of the iceberg, that's where you have your usual, your visible wave, what you see on the surface of the water. Then under the water, that's the deep web.
Yeah.
And also within the deep web is a dark web.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the dark web is just a small part of the deep web that is intentionally hidden, inaccessible through your standard browser. Okay. Yeah. And specifically, we know the common tool to access the dark web is a browser called Tor, T-O-R.
Okay.
Where you see a sign of a browser with like what looks like it's got a purple onion, sliced onion like this. That's it, you know. And it's also the only reason why it's used specifically for anonymity and privacy.
Okay.
It's like getting into a dark room and taking stuff without being seen by cameras.
Okay. So the surface web is what you know is the visible, the seen ones, the Google. It can be accessed through any web browser or whatever, right? And then the dark web, you're saying, it's a small part of the deep web, but it's one that's intentionally hidden, I suppose, for privacy and all those sort of stuff. Now, when we started, we said here, there are around 4.5 billion pages, I suppose, on the surface web that we can see. What is the quantum then of the entire, say, surface, deep, and dark web? Has that been quantified?
Not that I don't know the actual numbers.
Yeah.
But one thing I know is that the deep web, right, is what then holds the larger part of the internet that is not indexed by the search engines. Right. And what this just means is your private databases, your academic journals, your subscription only services, even your personal email accounts, they are
Hi Ronald, can you hear me? Okay, looks like we've lost Ronald there. Let me see if I can try and get him again on a different line. Hi, Ronald. Can you hear me? Okay, looks like I've lost him there. So let me see if I can get him back. Hey, this is... I don't know whether I'm the one who's scared. And if I'm scared, am I justified to be scared for that matter? Or I'm just blowing things out of proportion? Because... what is the dark web and why is it dark? What are the things that are done in the dark there? Because, wow, why are things not on the surface? Why are things done in the dark? You know, those are some of the things that I'm wondering, Guti. Why is that the case? So I hope you will be able to help us understand this one there. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to try and get him on a different line. Okay, it looks like we've got Mr. Ronald back there. Let's see. I think we've got him back. Am I having you back, Mr. Ronald?
Yes.
Ah, fantastic. Well, yeah. So you were saying that even the Gmail accounts or maybe even our email accounts also form part of the dark web.
That's the deep web. So the deep web contains almost all the databases.
Yeah.
Information in general. Right. Yeah. So all the so when you get to see your email, like when you open your Gmail, right, that's you are seeing it through the surface web, right?
Mm-hmm.
The visible web.
Yeah.
But that email account, the information within it is stored in the deep web.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
And then the deep web, there's just a section,
which
is called the dark web.
Okay.
Yes. So, sure. So, you know, accessing the deep web could just be through a username and a password, right?
Yeah.
But particularly accessing the dark web,
sure.
you then need the particular the browser called the Tor browser. I mean, if you use if you try to use the Tor browser, it actually takes time to load, to secure the connection that you're going through, just to make sure that it's anonymous.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or what that means is, it gives you access to both legal and illegal information, or legal and illegal activities. And in return, sometimes you are also exposed to a lot of malware and viruses. Because the moment you download something through the dark web, it's way easier for hackers and other malicious software to then get downloaded into your machine or server. There's no security there.
Okay. If I understand you well, there's levels within the deep web, right? Like there's parts that are legal for privacy and keeping information safe. Because I, for one, wouldn't want my email address to be easily accessible by anyone. So if I understand you, it sits in the deep web so that it's private and all that. But there is some level of dark web, that deep web, that's a little bit illegal there, right? I want to come back to that one. But this deep web, has it always existed? Or why do we kind of hear about it for the first time? And I mean, for me, it's the first time.
Okay, so you'll find the deep web has existed as long as the internet has.
Okay,
it's always been there.
Yeah.
So I'll define it again. The deep web is just where it's just the databases.
Yeah.
And take your dark web as a department within the deep web, because it stores everything, you know. So the deep web has existed for as long as the internet has, since it simply refers to the part of the web not indexed by search engines, right? However, the dark web specifically has been around since the launch of the Tor browser, which was around 2002. Although there were precursors to it in the earlier anonymous networks, but essentially the dark web existed since the launch of the Tor browser. That's 2002.
+27734703520 if you're as shocked as I am as well to hear from you, because wow, it sounds very, very shocking, these kind of things. And that's why we've got experts like Ronald helping us understand. Is there a way in which, I suppose, firstly, the deep web and the dark web, that they can be or are regulated in any way?
So the deep web itself is not regulated.
Okay.
Right? It's not regulated because it includes various types of data.
Yeah.
You know, like private databases.
Yeah.
Academic research. So like the usual academic research is stored on the deep web, right? And even personal information, right? So you find medical records, okay? You'll find your medical records.
Yeah.
They are there. However, the certain parts of data, they are adhere to certain privacy rules. Within the deep web. So you find no one can really access your medical records.
Sure.
Within the deep web. However, it's not really regulated in terms of, if you want to find whatever you want to find there, you can always find it. The dark web is also not regulated in the traditional sense, because it operates in a way that circumvents the typical internet oversight. Okay. However, law enforcement agencies around the world actively monitor the dark web sometimes, because they infiltrate dark web activities, you know, to combat illegal operations like drug trafficking, illegal weapon sale, and other criminal activities.
Yes.
So it's the common place they're going to look for if they are trying to search for for something that's going on. It could be drug trafficking, illegal weapon sales.
Now, if you watch movies, Ronald, I mean, it seems like the dark web, I suppose, is used for some criminal activities, and just like you've also alluded to it there. Is it safe? Are there any legitimate and maybe above board things that happen over there? Because, like I said, even the connotations just don't sound right.
Okay, so it's not inherently unsafe.
Okay.
But it's a space where illegal activities are more likely to occur.
Yeah.
Due to the anonymity.
Yeah.
It provides. Mm. Okay. So, but however, you will find the legitimate uses of the dark web. Mm. You will find journalists and activists in oppressive regimes may use the dark web to communicate anonymously and safely, because the element of anonymity and privacy is what people are looking for on the dark web.
Yes.
Additionally, you'll find websites on the dark web which provide whistleblower platforms where people can share information without revealing their identities. I mean, if I am to send an email through my usual account, maybe exposing something that I've seen happening that's illegal, it will come back to me as the whistle, as the whistleblower, you know. Yeah, but if I want to expose certain criminal activity, maybe it's use of child underage kids for some activity, I can easily do that on the dark web. Of course, you need to take the relevant precautions and all that.
Yes,
but I can maintain my anonymity.
Yeah. Okay, and I suppose that's the business case for it, right? And hence the different levels, the surface, the deep, and then the dark, because sometimes, although it can be used for illegal activities, there are some really legitimate reasons why people operate there. And I think if you look at coups here in Africa, particularly, and also across the world as well, we've seen coups happening, and you find that in some governments, they have, you know, kind of put restrictions on even social media or the dissemination of information, for that matter. That's trampling upon people's freedom of expression. These are legitimate reasons for the dark web, you would say.
Absolutely. So you find people who choose to operate in the deep web.
Yeah.
Just for privacy reasons. Maybe it could be accessing a subscription-based content, or to use private networks that are not indexed by search engines. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Another legal use. So I'm often looking for tutorials to use, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes content, because I'm in Zimbabwe, certain content will be restricted because of where I am.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But if I, well, because of location, so it will pick up my location and it will say, okay, you are a Zimbabwean, you cannot access this.
Yeah.
But if I access that website through the dark web, it doesn't have a record of where I am. You can even place, you can even see you're in Singapore, whatever it is, and I can just access that learning content, and then I do what I need to do, and so That's sometimes why people would need to use it. Even communication.
Yeah.
Without, I mean, have you ever seen how you go on like Chrome and then you find a search history?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That search history can easily trace back, even if you're in a public internet cafe.
Yeah.
It can easily trace back to you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Often people, especially with these smartphones, right, you often have the, I suppose, the option to use the private mode when you are, browsing or whatever. We tell ourselves that there's no history, footprint of what we are searching for that's being, tracked, whatever. Is that where? Is that the surface, the deep? Where are we now operating?
Well, the incognito, right?
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Yes.
Well, that is still on the surface. I think if you actually open your browser now, and like if you say new incognito tab, it will actually tell you that others who use this device won't see your activity, so you can browse more privately. However, this won't change the data. How data is collected by websites that you visit and services that you use, including Google, you know, downloads and all that will be saved.
Yeah.
Okay. However, your cookies, your site data information, it won't save them. However, statistics and all that will still be shown in here. Like maybe 40% of females in South Africa with certain conditions visit certain medical libraries online not to search for whatever. It will still collect certain information like that.
So we thought we are safe, Ronald. We thought we are safe.
A little green platform is really it's just not
You just burst our bubble there because we thought we are safe. We're like, I'm incognito, you know, I'm in private mode, so no one will.
it's just your browsing history.
Yes.
At the very least, that you don't have access to.
Yeah. When you're okay, and then there would be times when you try and access a website, right, and it says it is not safe. Do you want to continue or go back to safety? We are still just on the surface, even on those.
Yes. Okay, so that's slightly a different issue.
Yeah.
Because that one has to do with something called an SSL certificate.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Secure Shell something certificate. What that means is, so when you're buying a domain, when you're buying a website or a domain name, right? You need to get an SSL certificate. What that means is hackers and other malicious softwares cannot create a layer on your website.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that they can steal people's information and all that. It's like buying insurance for your car.
Okay.
So if you get into an accident in a car without insurance, you may not be covered.
Yeah.
When it comes to hospital bills and all that. So that is put there because whatever damage is going to happen to you when you go on that website, you'll be liable for it.
Yeah.
So you can access that content, but you put your computer at risk because every website or every domain must adhere to the internet rules.
All right. I want us to end then with the do's and don'ts at each level, right? What are the do's and don'ts? How can one be safe, take precautions? Because I know there are some of my listeners who will try these things out and go to the tour and be like, I want to explore this thing and how it works. I want us to look at the do's and don'ts. But before we get into that, how accessible is it to the average internet user, this deep? Let's look at the deep and then the dark web. Is it easy, difficult? Is it a mission?
So you just need the right tools. Okay?
Okay.
For the deep web, you just need a username and a password.
Yeah.
It could. So whatever account it is, like I said, it could be a private repository. It could be an academic research portal. All you need is a username and a password. Right. And then for the dark web, you need a Tor browser, which is actually an application or a browser that you actually download. And then you access. Yeah, that's all you need. It's easily accessible.
Yeah. But doesn't it give you the jittery when you now moving into dark things? I mean, or am I just thinking about it as a Christian here? Because anything with dark, you like. But I'm sure the moment you're saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to go into the dark web, what are you doing there? What do you want there?
Some people just want the privacy.
Okay. No matter how jittery that may sound, just getting into the dark things.
Some people also like I was saying, you can't access it in content because
yeah.
of where you're located.
Yeah.
You go through that. And also maybe you ask about do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Just don't put anything on the web that would expose your personal identity.
Mm.
For example, your address, your current address. Mm. Like, you know, I know people like to check in to on Facebook. They like to check in. I'm checking into Woodmed Center.
Yes.
I'm checking into, you know, whatever. You know, it's better to post pictures and all that not in real time.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just wiser. Like maybe when you're back from a trip, then you post your memories, okay? Rather than to actually say, you've just landed in South Africa now.
Yeah.
People may then know that, okay, so
yeah.
which means his home in Zimbabwe is vacant.
Yeah.
We can go there and steal. If you're cheating on your wife and you've got pictures with her, don't post those pictures online, because one day when you want to be a prime minister, those pictures will pop up.
They will surface, definitely.
They will find them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll be resurfaced. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah, so like I was saying, you've got those databases.
Yeah.
You will delete a Facebook picture, right?
Yeah.
But it is stored. It's never deleted completely. It's stored somewhere for future reference and for future implications.
Oh, and now you want to be the minister and people are like, nope. There's this thing that you did on 1993. And that case just vanished into thin air.
Yep.
And so you want to be Minister of Police? No ways, because you have a case yourself that you must answer to. I mean, I'm just thinking about even here in South Africa recently with this new so-called GNU, whatever we have, a certain guy from this other political party that has a blue thing on them. Things surfaced that they, you know, used a certain K word for black people at a certain time.
Yeah.
And now they want to be in parliament and they're like, nope, my guy. Nope, the way you
I
look at black
one.
People.
I
you saw that one, eh? That was in the dark web. It's stored somewhere in the dark web.
Yeah, it's all there. We won't know about it until you now want to repent. Yes, you can repent, but we will remember.
It's a good thing that we praise a God who doesn't go into the dark web to remind us of our sins, because people go into the dark web and remind you, even when you repent, you...
We forgive, but don't forget. Yeah.
That's very sad. Yeah. Okay, let's close it this way. Surface web, what are the do's and don'ts?
Okay, so I think, like I was saying, don't post in real time. Avoid posting in real time, unless maybe it's sad or something.
Yeah.
But just avoid giving off too much personal information that can implicate you, even if it's on LinkedIn, right?
Ew.
And someone is saying they want to give you a job, and they are now asking for your ID number, your there's certain information that's public, but avoid just giving out unnecessary information.
Deep web,
sorry,
the deep web, what are some of the do's and don'ts there?
Just be mindful of where you place your credentials.
Yeah.
Some of the transactions you do online, verify. Make sure you also remember some of the transactions you do. Keep an account of the stuff that you do online as well.
Yeah.
And then probably the dark web.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avoid downloading stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, downloading media content, because through that's how you then download viruses and malicious software on it.
Sure.
Maybe also avoid logging into platforms that require a username and password, because you may get scammed.
Just get scammed. Sure. Thank you so much, my brother, for your insights. Where can people find you and your services as well?
All right, so if you go on RonexSolutions.com, That's our website. Even on social media platforms, it's just Ronix Solutions. We're now into digital media as well, digital marketing, something that we've added over and above the tech trainings, but also the websites and web development. So we're now doing social media handling. SEOs, or basically taking, giving you like publicity on the social media. We're also now into that as well.
Fantastic. I can confirm that you are on the surface, right, with these services. Nothing deep there.
Absolutely on the surface.
Thank you so much, Wild, and God bless you. Thank you so much. I really didn't know about these things, but it really opened up my eye, and I'm like, I'm going to start looking now and be very careful.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Have a good one. That was our elder there, Ronald, helping us understand. Yo, guys, I didn't know these things. Honestly speaking, I didn't know it at all, at all, at all. And I suppose it really speaks to the fact that I'm a novice in this space, and I'm happy to be. But I'm learning. Just like you, I'm really, really learning. It's the surface work. It's things we can see. Yeah, things we can access through our, different platforms like YouTube. I'm told it's some of those, ways in which we can access these things. You can use your Google, your website. All these things are just on the surface. And then there's the deep web. And in the deep web there, this is where private forums sit. This is where private networks, research papers, as you mentioned, medical records of people. All of these things are sitting somewhere in the deep web. And then you've got the dark web. Very dark. Some illegal stuff can happen there. Although it can be used for good, right, to disseminate information, especially if you look at, how in some African countries during coups and fights and all those sort of stuff, the dissemination of information is really restricted and social media isn't used and any other. And so you need to really then go to the dark web. And there, in the dark web, is where you can do all these things, good things, but there's also bad that can be done in the dark web. Like he said, be very, very careful in the dark web.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.